Okay, we're going to start in the middle of Mem Hei Amud Bet. I'm Rav Nachman and Shmuel. Lo Shanu Elu Shesachro Be'edim. Here we're talking about an employee. The employee is being hired, a sachir, right? Someone who is a wage earner, who is being employed by the Balabait. Now, when he comes to make a claim for his wages, right, then one of the items that the Mishnah mentions is Nishba Ben Otel. He's able to take a Shvua and take the money, meaning that he's given the right to take a Shvua and demand his payment. So over there, Rav Nachman Mishalonu El Shesachro Be'edim. That is only if he was hired with Edim there. So I mean, the original contract or the original employment agreement was done with Edim. Why? Aval Shesachro Shelo Be'edim. Were there no Edim to the fact that the original employment agreement, the Toch Shiuchal Amar Lo, Lo Shechartitcha Me'olam, because then the Baal HaBayit could deny the fact that there was ever such an agreement between them, or that whether he was ever hired. So since the Baal HaBayit has amigo of Nemanut, which is that because he could say, listen, we never had any agreement, I never hired you, the fact that he now says, I hired you and I paid you, he's believed because of that amigo. He could have made another claim. The other claim would have been that I never hired you, and we would have believed him also, because there's no evidence to the fact that there was any employment agreement. There's no evidence to the fact that they have any relationship whatsoever. So that's the fact. Only once there are Edim in the picture. Once there are Edim in the picture, then the Baal HaBayit has no way to deny the agreement between them. If you can't deny the agreement between them, then we say there's a demand, or the Sakhir can make a demand for payment, and Nishba Binotel. So Amalei Rabbi Yitzchak Yasher. Right, that's good. What you're saying is right. That's Rabbi Yochanan also says like what you're saying. So Michlau de Poligalei Reish Lokish. While you're saying that Rabbi Yochanan agrees with you, right? So the implications are that Reish Lokish disagrees with you, or disagrees with this position of Rabbi Yochanan, who's the Baal Plukto of Rabbi Yochanan. So Igede Amre Mishta Hava Shatilei. So then, some people say, and we had this before in the Gemara about the position of Reish Lakish, that he was drinking, right, and he was waiting to finish his drink, and while before he would respond to the position of Rabbi Yochanan, in the interim, Rabbi Yitzchak left the room, and when he left the room, he didn't hear what Reish Lakish's position was, whether he responded in the positive or the negative, right, or Mishta Bishotikle, and or the other possibility is that he was silent to that point. That he used to wait until Rabbi Yochanan finished his entire statement or everything he was teaching. And then he would wait until the completion of his statement until he responded to him. So over here again, Rabbi Yitzchak left the base medrash before Reish Lakish ever made his response. So he was uncertain as to Reish Lakish's response. Not that Reish Lakish himself, we know whether he agrees or disagrees. He just knows that Rabbi Yochanan made the statement. As far as Reish Lakish's position, he's unaware because he either left. He left in both instances, whatever delayed Reish Lakish's response, whether it was his drinking, whether it was waiting for Rabbi Yochanan to finish his statement. Either way, he did not hear the position of Reish Lakish. Itmar Nami, we have a similar position. Amar Rav Mishanya Menashe, Bar Zvid, Amar Rav, Lo Shonu Elu Shesachro Be'edim, Avar Sachro Shem Lo Be'edim, Shmetoch Shechal Omar Lo, Lo Shechartich Me'olam, Yechol Omar Lo, Shechartich Menatati Lecha Skarecha. So the same Migo that was expressed by Rav Nachman Omar Shmuel is now being expressed by Rav Menashe Bar Zvid Amar Rav. So you have Shmuel and Rav making a similar statement, which is that only if the employee was hired, right, through a deem, is there a possibility that the sachir can make a demand for payment in Nishba Benotel. But if there are no edim, there's no evidence to the agreement, then the migo, the Baal HaBayit, isn't believed because he could make a claim that it never happened. Since he can make a claim, Layu Dvarim Me'olam, he's also believed to say, I hired you and I paid you. And therefore there will be no Nishba Benotel in that case. Okay, that's coming up in the Gemara. Okay, that's going to come up. So Amar Rav Chama, come all you high shmeitet. Oh, this is great. You know, how wonderful are these memrot, right, that we're hearing. So Amar Rav Rova, my no yuto. What type of, why are these so good? Imke, now you have Shvat HaShomrim, D'chayav Rachmana Eichem Ishkachalo. The case of Shvat HaShomrim, where you have a Shomer who is watching an item for another individual, what is the instance in which he will be Chayav? Why? Mitoch Shecholam Arlo, Lo Yedvir Me'olam. The Shomer can always say, it never took place. You never gave him the item to watch. Yecholam Arlo, Nansu. So then he can make a claim that it was Nanas. He can say, listen, the object was lost, and that's for Shomer Chinam, whether it was lost or there was Gneva of Avedo, or for other Shomrim, there was a real onus that took place here. So in this case, he could say to him, "Lo yedvur me'olam yecholomar nantzu." So what's the solution? Da'afkidei be'edim. So the solution would be that what? That he handed over the item to him to watch in front of edim. So it says, "Mitoch shecholomalo hechzarti lecha yecholomalo nantzu." Handing it over edim is not enough. I mean that when it comes to an employment agreement, when it comes to hiring an individual, if you have edim to the hiring, right, then the payment is not done on the spot, and he could say, "Listen, I only completed the work now, you still haven't paid me, you know, pay me now." Over there, there's a valid claim. Over here, when he hands in the pikadon, there's no defined time for the return of the pikadon. So what he could say is, "Listen, yes, you gave it to me in front of Edim, but I also returned it to you, and I don't have an obligation to return it in front of Edim, and therefore, I gave it back to you." So since he could say, "I gave it back to you already," he can also make a claim of Nansu. So what's the other option? Da'afkidei b'shtaro. So this is what you were asking, right, that he gave over a shtar. So if he gave it in with a shtar, then there's no denial. So now, michlau. So this, the tarvayu svirle. If that's the case, it means that they both hold. Hamafkid etz chaveru be'edim. Someone who gives over a pikadon to watch with edim. Ein tzarich lachzir lo be'edim. Does not have to return it with edim. Meaning that you can give it with edim, you don't have to return it with edim. Because if you had to return it with edim, the migo would fall away. Because the migo would say, "Listen, you gave it to me with edim." I say, "I returned it to you already." He says, "Well, your returning to me is not valid unless you return it with edim. If you return it with edim, that's a returning. But if you say that you can return it without edim, now you have a migo." He's believed. He can either say, "I returned it to you," or he can say, "Nansu." In fact, he says, "Nansu now," we should believe him because he had a better claim. He could have just said, "I returned them already." Now, even though, as Tosus points out over here, it's not so simple that he could say, "I returned them," because he's lying then. He's going to be in front of the individual who took the pikadon from him. He's going to say to his face that, "I'm returning you the item." So the migo here is not such a great migo, because a person in general is not me'iz panav to be kofer bakol here. You know, over here, he'll make a claim of nansu, because nobody will know the truth about it. So there he would make the claim. On the other hand, to look at him in the face and say, "I gave it back to you," when he didn't give it back to you, that he'd be less likely to do. Nevertheless, even though they're not of equal stature, we say, and Shmuel says this in other places, we do say amigo here. So it is a weakened form of migo. You should be aware that it's just not as strong amigo as we say in other places, because the two claims are not on equal footing. A person is more likely to make a claim nansu, where nobody ever figured out, than to lie to the person's face and say to him, "I gave it back to you." So even though there is an inequality here, we still would say amigo, or at least according to Shmuel, we would say such amigo. So now, although on the other hand, if the agreement was entered into with a shtar, tzarich lachzir lo be'edim, then you do have to, right, return it with edim. Because otherwise, what's the chap? That he gave it to him with a shtar, how come the migo goes away? The only way, the reason the migo goes away is if he has to return it with edim. That's if we return it with edim, then he can't make a claim, "I give it back to you." If you give it back to you, where are the edim that you gave it back? No edim? We can't believe you there. So if we don't believe you there, you don't have a migo, and therefore when you say nansu, you're also not believed. So that means the case of Shuat HaShomrim, it will only be in a case where he gave over the pikadon bishtar. That's the only place it's going to work. So Kari Rami Bachama Leid Rav Sheshet. Rami Bachaz is about Rav Sheshet. Yasem David at Dvarim Eile Bil Vavo. So over here it means that he basically, David went to look into the matter. You know, he took it to heart. Meaning that Rav Sheshet went to investigate whether this was really true. This was the position of Shmuel. The Ashkei Rav Sheshet, the Rabbi Bar Shmuel, he found Rabbi Bar Shmuel and Malay, Tzmimar Midev Schir. Tell me about what you know about the case of Schir, of a wage earner. A Malay in. He says, "Sure, Tanino, we have a braisa, schir bizmano, nishba v'notel." Right, a wage earner, when he comes to make his claim, bizmano, at the time that the Baal HaBayit would normally pay him, which is if he's a schir yom, if he's a wage earner during the day, he has all night to pay him. If he's a wage earner at night, he has all day to pay him. So during that period of time, nishba v'notel. Takes a shvayz notel that we saw in the previous Gemara, that the only time he's nishba v'notel is during zmano. Keitzat. That's the case. Bizman Shamalo Sikhartani Vinola Tatali Skari says, "You hired me and you didn't give me my schar, you didn't give me my wages." Habalo Mer Sikharticha. And the other one says, "No, the Baal HaBayit says, no, I hired you. Vina Tatili Khaskarecha and I paid you your wages." Avala Marlo, but if the case is Shtaim Katsatzali, that you offered me two. I mean, that's the wages that we set were two zuz. I only gave you one, whatever the two and the one are. It's not relevant, but there's a disagreement as to the level of wages that were agreed upon over here. The wage earner says a higher amount, and the Baal HaBayit says a lower amount. So now you have a machlokas about what, between them, between about what the wages are over here. Right, so then, Ela Achat, Hamotzi Michaveru, Alav Araya. In that case, whoever wants to take money, which will be the poel, he's got to bring a raya that was the amount that was set. So now Rav Sheshet claims, "How mid the sefer biraya? right? If the fact that the sefer, the latter case, means that you have to bring a proof, right? Havi resha below rayo. That means that the resha case is without a rayo. What does that mean without a rayo? That means that there are no edim to the fact that he was hired. So what do you see over here? No edim to the fact that he was hired, and nevertheless, what's the din? Nishba v'notel. That goes against Rab, and that goes against Shmuel. Both Rab and Shmuel said before, if you hired without edim, there's no din of nishba v'notel. The only time there's a din of nishba v'notel is there edim to that fact. Over here, he's suggesting, Rav Sheshes, that what, there are no edim here, and yet we say nishba v'notel. Zamar of Nachman bar Yitzchak, it says, no, Reisha v'seifa b'raya. No. Reisha v'seifa both acquire a raya. But the raya de la shayin leim kiyatani. The only thing the Braisa is addressing is whether you need a proof to get paid. Raya v'shvua loktoni. The raya that brings you to a shvua, that they're not addressing. The Braisa is not addressing. What's the Braisa addressing? How do I get my money? I want to get paid over here. There are two options how to get paid. Either nishba v'notel, that the sechir takes a shvu'ah and he gets paid, or amotzi mechaver alav araya, that he has to bring edim to the fact that he has to bring the edim to the fact that he's owed the money, or that he had the higher wage. So those are two options over here. Both of those are the raya, the proof that he needs to get his wages or to get his money. One case he requires edim, the other case it can be nishba v'notel. How does he get to a shvu'ah? Wait a minute, that's the Bresh is not addressing. The Bresh is not addressing how does he get to the point of Shua. Getting to the point of Shua is that he also needs a raya. He needs edim to get him to the point of Shua, but that's not what the Bresh is addressing. The Bresh is simply addressing, if I want to get paid, how do I get paid? One option is to get a Shua, the other option is to have edim. Now, how do I get to a Shua? That's a separate question not addressed by the Bresh, which is that I need edim to the fact that we had some sort of relationship. So therefore, it's not a proof against Rav or Shmuel, it's not a proof that they didn't say such a thing. Obviously, you have to suggest over here that even though he hired him with edim, that they didn't know what the wage was. That they knew that he was hired, but they weren't aware of the wage, or they forgot the wage, otherwise you just asked the edim what the wage was over here. So obviously that's the case here, that they don't know what the wage is. So now, Amar Rav Yirmiyahu bar Abba, Shochule mi bei Rav l'Shmuel. So the base manager of Rav sent to Shmuel, Yelamdeinu Rabbeinu, Uman Omer Shtaim Katzatzli. Here we have a craftsman, an artisan that did work on an item, and he says that the price was two. Right? Valomer, and the one whose object was being worked on, he said, I only agreed to pay you one. Minishba. Who takes the shvua in this case? Samalan, Bizui Shaba Balabait, you have Sid Uman. Over here, the Balabait will take the shvua, and the Uman will lose out. Why? What do you have here? You have a case of a Modeh b'miktzat. The Uman is making a claim for two. The Balak Bait agrees that he owes one. That's a case of Modem Miksat. Modem Miksat, who's the Shvuan, the one who is? Modem Miksat. Who's the Modem Miksat over here? The Balabait, the owner of the object that's being worked on. So he's Modem Miksat, he's Nishba, right? And then he's Patur. So now, why is this different than the case of Tzchir? So that's more the answer is, people pay attention to the wages or the value that they set on an object. Meaning that whereas before we suggested that when it comes to a balabayit, when he focuses on hiring of a sechir, whether he paid the wages or not, he doesn't focus. Because he's terud b'palav. He's with all his other workers. He's paying everybody. He's taking care of things. So therefore he might have had some oversight and not remember that he didn't pay this worker. So that could happen. But as far as these wages that he sets, that is something that does not escape him. That is not something that he forgets about. Marzini, is that really true? Vatani Rabbo Bar Shmuel, Kotzotz Hamotzi Mechavero Alav Haraya. So, if he's Katzatz, if he was, what set the wages? Over here, there's an argument about the wages, right? He has to bring Hamotzi Mechavero Alav Haraya. If you want to get your wages out, you got to bring a Raya. Vilo Maiti Raya. If he doesn't bring a Raya, Paka. Right, it goes away. I mean, then there's nothing to talk about over here. So it says, why should it be? Paka, Ishba, Balabait, V'yafsid Uman. Let the Balabait take a Shavua, and everything will be over. What does it mean that either the Uman brings a Raya, and if he doesn't bring a Raya, then the case falls apart? I have another way that the case falls apart. You know what the case? The Moda makes up, the Balabait takes a Shavua, and he's Patur, Nishba, V'niftar. Where did that situation go, if it's what you're saying? So Amar Rav Nachman, Litzdadim, Ptani. That Braita is written, Litzdadim, and it has two options, which is, Ome Viraya, Vito. Either the Schir brings proof to the fact that that's what was promised to him, and therefore he'll take it. O Yishba Balabait, V'yafsid Uman. Or the other option is Paka. Paka means, why is it going to go to nothing, or why there's no claim over here? So that the Balabait takes a Shua, and the Uman's out of luck, because he's Nishba V'niftar. Because he's modem miksat, the Balabai takes the shvua. So now the Gemara says, Meitevei, we have a case of Uman that disagrees with this. Anotein talitol uman. Someone gives over his garment to the craftsman. Uman omer katzatzili shtayim. He says, you said you were going to pay me two for the work that I'm going to do. I said, only pay you one. Kol zman shatali biyad uman. As long as the garment is in the hand of uman, alabayit abalabayit labiraya. Then the balabayit has to be the right, bring the proof. Meaning that the upper hand goes to the one who has the talit in his hand. Natatalo bizmano. If he gave back the talit in the proper time, meaning that he gave it back, and then in the time period that the Baal HaBayit should have paid him, nishba v'notel, the Uman takes the shvua and he keeps it. Avar zmano, again, if it passed the time where he should be the period of time where he can claim his wages, motzi b'chareo lav haraya, then the obligation, right, devolves upon the sechir, and he's got to bring a raya. But mizmano, mion nishba v'notel. Wait a minute. So in the Zman, where he could have collected his wages, what does the Braita say? It says, Nishba v'notel. He takes the Shachir, the Uman takes the Shua, and he's notel. Amai, why should it be? Nishba v'alabayit v'yafsid Uman. You just said, Rishmuel makes a claim here, that when you have a disagreement between the balabayit and an Uman, or balabayit and the Shachir about the wages, the level of the wages, and you have a motive in Mitzat, the balabayit takes the Shua as Patur. Yet now we have a Braita saying just the opposite, or saying the other fact, which is the other possibility, which is that the Shachir Nishba v'notel. He takes the Shvua and takes it. So why? Who? Why is Shmuel saying that the Baal Bayit is Nishba v'eino mishalem? And yet we have a Braita that's saying that the Shechir or the Uman is Nishba v'notel. So that position of Shmuel, that it's obvious when it comes to Ktsitsa, when it comes to setting wages, that the Baal Bayit knows what he's talking about. Over here it sounds no. That maybe he forgets. And therefore we empower the Shechir to make a claim and take it back. Somebody says, Amar Rav Nachman Yitzhak, Hamani Rav Yehuda hi. No, the author of this position is Rabbi Yehuda. He, Damar kol zman shuvua notel etzel the balabayit, shechir nishba v'notel. Anytime there's a shvua by the balabayit, instead of the balabayit taking the shvua, the shechir takes the shvua. So over here, Enochanami, the shvua should have been taken by the balabayit because you have a case of modem mixat, but the chamim empowered the shechir to take the shvua instead, and he's nishba v'notel. So therefore, the shechir is empowered in this case. That's Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara says, no, hi Rabbi Yehuda. Where do you find this Rabbi Yehuda? Ilema Rabbi Yehuda de Matnitin. Wait, we had Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah. What did Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah says? In the cases where Nishba v'notel, in all the cases in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda said that's not enough. Nishba v'notel is not automatic. Nishba v'notel only happens in a case where there is a Shvu'ah because there was already a mode of Mixat. It has to be a mode of Mixat. When there's a mode of Mixat, we flip the Shvu'ah and say Nishba v'notel. So that's it. Achmure kar machmir. Wait a minute, Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah is more machmir the Chachamim, did not? Rabbi Yehuda omer, ad shehei sham mikzat hoda'ah. That the only time in Nishba v'notel is as long as there's a mode of mikzat. That means that Rabbi Yehuda narrows the scope of what's called Nishba v'notel. The Chachamim have a much broader spectrum of times that it'll be Nishba v'notel. That's whether it's kofar bakol, whether it's mode of mikzat. No matter what the case is, the Shechir is always empowered to be Nishba v'notel. Yehuda says the Shechir is only empowered when the Baal HaBayit would have otherwise taken the Shvua was mode b'mikzat. So it's mode of mikzat, then we flip it onto the Shechir's Nishba v'notel. So what do you want to suggest? Rabbi Yehuda is the author of the solution and not the Chachamim? That makes no sense. Rabbi Yehuda is machmir. Rabbi Yehuda has a much more narrow definition. That means the Chachamim would agree too to that position. Ela Rabbi Yehuda the Braito. It's Rabbi Yehuda the Braito. Why? The Tanya, we have Rabbi Braito. Shechir calls man shlo avar alav.
What's the problem? I don't understand the fact that he's more machmir. Why can't he be the Baal
HaBayit? He could be the Baal HaBayit, but that means the Chachamim would also be the Baal HaBayit. Meaning that the Chachamim, whatever Rabbi Yehuda. What?
There is more than mixes in the Braisa.
Right. So Rabbi Yehuda could be the author of the Braisa, but that means the Chachamim could also be the author of the Braisa. If they're the author of the Braisa, who's Shmuel's position? Where is it coming from? Shmuel's not like the Chachamim, and Shmuel's not like Rabbi Yehuda. Right? Because he claims, Shmuel says that even in the case of Modem Mixat, over there it's not Nishba v'notel, that the Baal HaBayit is Nishba v'niftar. That he's Nishba v'niftar. Who's the author of that position? Rabbi Yehuda, you're claiming, is the author of this Braisa. But if Rabbi Yehuda is the author of this Braisa, the Chachamim would agree to Rabbi Yehuda's position. So now the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda both agree that it's a case of Nishba v'notel. Who's Shmuel's position then? Who's the author of that position of Shmuel? Who's going to agree to Shmuel's position? Alright, so we're going to suggest that Rabbi Yehuda the Braisa, or the Tanya, Shechir, Kozman Shalom Avar Alav Zmano, Shechir, as long as the time has not passed, there is a Nishba v'notel. Take Shvaz notel, Vim Lav. Eino nishba v'notel. If it's not, right, then he can't. If the zmano has passed already, then he can't be nishba v'notel. Rabbi Yehuda metai zman shamar lo ten li schari, 50 dinar. What's the case here? Is when he asks for his 50 dinar that he's owed, sheish lecha biyadcha, v'omer itzkabalta, behen dinar zahav. You got already a dinar zahav, which is 25 dinarai kesef. Right? One dinar zav equals 25 dinarei kesef. That relates back, if I sent out the Amsterdam, the Rabbeinu Tam speaks about this on the Mishnah, about the relationship between gold and silver. That means that the relationship is 25 to 1. The Rabbeinu Tam says we've never seen such a thing, that the relationship between silver and gold is only 12 to 1. How could it be that 25 to 1? Rabbeinu Tam makes a claim over here that the gold coins were thicker. They were double the thickness of the silver coins. And therefore, instead of being 12 to 1, it was really 24 to 1. And there was an extra silver coin thrown in there for the change, to break down the gold coin. To break the gold coin into 24 silver, you have to have an extra silver coin in there. That's Rabbeinu Tam's claim over here about it. I sent out just Makorot, so you can see the position of the Rabbeinu Tam, where it derives from, and then also the historical fact about whether it's true, the relationship between gold and silver, whether it really was that of that level or consistent at that level. Right now, Gemara says, all right, so he says, he gave him 25 out of the 50. That you said you were going to pay me two, or I said I'm only giving you one. But if he denies the whole fact that he had any schira, or he says, I hired you and I gave you your schar, so that's the position of Rabbi Yehuda. So again, atkif la Rav Sheshi b'rei Rabbi Yehuda, elo kotzotz Rabbi Yehuda velo Rabbanan. Again, what are you going to suggest? That again, that Rabbi Yehuda is the author of this Braita and not the Rabbanon? Hashtod heichi de machmir Rabbi Yehuda mekili Rabbanon. In the case where Rabbi Yehuda is machmir, where he says there is no nishba benotel, the Chumim say nishba benotel, then heichi de mekil Rabbi Yehuda, in the case of Rabbi Yehuda agrees it's nishba benotel, in the case of Modi makes out, Rabbi Yehuda agrees that and flip the shua and it's nishba benotel, then machmir Rabbanon, you're going to suggest the Rabbanon machmir? That can't be the case. Is L-O-I? That's the Rabbanon after we make or am I? So now what do you want to suggest? Rabbanon. That the authors of this verse are the Rabbanon. If the Rabbanan and Rabbi Yehuda agree to this position of Nishba ben Otel, then who's the author of that position of Rabba bar Shmuel? Who's going to be the author of that position? The Chachamim say Nishba ben Otel in every case. Rabbi Yehuda says in cases of Modim Miksat, Nishba ben Otel. Shmuel is talking about a case of Modim Miksat, and he's saying, and therefore he's saying, Nishba ben Niftar, that he's saying that the Baal HaBayit takes the Shvuah as Patur. And yet we have all the Tanaim, there's no Tana that agrees with that. Every Tana says, Nishba ben Otel. So who's the Tana that agrees with the position of Rabba bar Shmuel? So the answer of the Gemara is, Elo Amar Robo B'Hakam Miflegate. Let me explain to you the machlokus between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. Rabbi Yehuda Savar, Bidda Oraito, Abdulei Takanto L'Sechir. Only when there is otherwise a Shvuah min HaTorah. What's a Shvuah min HaTorah? A Shvuah min HaTorah is Modem Miksat. So you have a Shvuah midoraito. Then the Rabbanim made a takanto and they flipped the Shvuah over to the Sechir, and the Sechir can take a Nishvah bin Otel. Right? Bidarabanan Habai takanto. But by the a Shvuah midorabanan, that's only a, I'll read you what Rashi says here. Rashi says that you take a Shvuah hesait. By Kofra Kol, you take a Shvuah hesait. That's only a Shvuah d'Rabbanan, right? V'takanta l'takanta lo avdinon. But we don't make a takana l'takana. The first takana is Shvuah hesed. The second takana is that you're going to flip it and be nishba ben otel. Instead of being niftar by the Shvuah, he's going to be nishba ben otel. So then we're not going to make a gzera l'gzera takana l'takana. That we won't do. That's the way Rashi reads it. He reads it, Shvuah hesed is a din d'Rabbanan. We're not going to flip it with another d'Rabbanan onto the Sechir. That is the position of Rabbi Yehuda. On the other hand, the Chachamim believe Rabbanan Tzavri, the Rabbanan Namnav Dino Tokanto. Even the Rabbanans, we make a Tokano, the Sechir, right? That when it comes to a Sechir, we say, flip it in every instance. But, Ktsitsa Midkar Dochir. But when it comes to Ktsitsa, when it comes to setting down the wages, there we don't flip it because we assume that the Baal HaBayit will remember that matter, and therefore we don't give the Sechir the power to be, or we don't empower the Sechir, the wage earner, to go ahead and make it take a Shvuah in order to claim his wages. So this is the position of Rashi. Rashi simply says that when it comes to Rabbi Yehuda, Doraisa, we say flip the Shvuah, Nishba ben Otel. When it's a Darabon, then we don't flip it. And Rabbi Yehuda is the author of the Braisa that says Nishba ben Otel. Because there, all those cases are cases of Doraisa. In the cases where it's Modu B'Miksat, the case of Doraisa, that's where he flips the Nishba ben Otel. The cases that are not Modu B'Miksat, Rabbi Yehuda over there says, or the Braisa also says, right, no Nishba ben Otel. That would be Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Bar Shmuel's position is the Chachamim. Chachamim say you always flip to the Sechir. You always flip over to the Sechir, except in a case when they're arguing about the wages. They're arguing about wages, like Shmuel, Rabbi Bar Shmuel said over there. The answer is that we don't flip to the Sechir. Why do we give the Sechir? Why do we empower the Sechir in the case of when he didn't get his wages? We say that the Baal Abayit is Tarud B'Pa'alav, he's working on other items, he's busy with his other business, so he doesn't remember whether he paid it or not. So therefore we empower the Sechir to go ahead and take a Shvu'ah to get his money back. On the other hand, when it comes to the Sit, the amount of the wages, there we don't say the Baal Abayit is Tarud. We say when he set the wages, he remembers what he set, he knows what he's going to pay him, he just doesn't remember if he did pay him. So over there, when it's an argument about the wage setting, there we don't empower the Sechir, and the Baal Abayit is the one that's Nishba, and he is Patur. Nishba, Ve'enu Mishalim. That is the position of Rashi. Those of us over here ask a question on Rashi. Rashi himself, on Mem Chedamud Bet, towards the bottom, says the same thing himself. Shvat Hasait doesn't exist in the time of Tanaim. Who introduced Shvat Hasait? That was introduced by Rav Nachman. That's already introduced only in the time of the Amoraim. So if that's the case, how can you be saying what we're talking about here is a Shvat HaSeit? That's the Din D'Rabbanan we're talking about, that's not flipped. And if you look at it, it says Tosos B'D'Rabbanan, Takantu, Perush. Tzarech L'Takein Shvua. Rekam Tzarech L'Okram Yikom She'iru Uya Liot, Liot Baal Abayit. V'lo Abdei Takanta L'Takanta. V'lo Kamo She'Perush HaKuntris. Takanta Yid Ked Rav Nachman. Domer V'Shbino To Shvat HaSeit. Sherei Oto Shvua La'ita B'Mei Tanaim. That didn't exist in the time of the Tananaim. So now, what we're talking about, so over here, the Tikkun D'Rabbanan is only a much later time of Shvat HaSeit. So if you look at the next Tosfos, Lodami Lahadaminu Perk Shvat HaDayim Gabi Shinegdo Chashur HaShvua Dim Rabbanan Lama Fchin and Shvua Tekanta Lekanta Lodina Hotom Betchila Nitkana LaChashud. Over there, the original Takana was given to the Chashud Velo Ratzul Okra. There, they don't want to move it. Aval Hocham Ikar Matkinin La'ala Sechir. Over here, what they did was, you have a Shvua D'Rabbanan. A Shvua D'Rabbanan, whatever the Shvua D'Rabbanan is, for however they came into a Shvua D'Rabbanan over here, not a Shvua Tesek, whatever that Din D'Rabbanan is, they said that Sechir takes it. He's the one who makes that Shvua. It's not that they had a Shvua that should be given to the Baal Abayit, and then they flipped that onto the Sechir. No. The original Takana D'Rabbanan is that the Sechir is the one who takes the Shvua. That in instances like this, that Shvua D'Rabbanan belongs to the Sechir. Not that it's a Takana D'Takana. It's not two separate Takanot. If you have two separate Takanot, then you can say it's a D'Rabbanan D'Rabbanan, or Takana D'Takana that we don't say. Well, here, the original Takana was to give it or empower the Sechir. And that's why it's not considered a D'Rabbanan. It's considered like a Chad D'Rabbanan. It's one big D'Rabbanan that they gave it to the Sechir. Also, the Shvua of Nishba Venotel. That's a Shvua D'Rabbanan. That could be the Shvua D'Rabbanan, and that's what they could be talking about here, that they empower the Sechir, even when there's no Shvua D'Rabbanan in terms of Shvua HaSeit. Nevertheless, that they empower the Sechir to be Notel over here is even when there is no other Shvua except the Shvua D'Rabbanan. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda would say that by Shvua D'Rabbanan, we didn't give it over to the Sechir. It's only Shvua D'Oraita that we flipped it. Shvua D'Rabbanan always remained with the Baal Abayit because they ain't D'Oraita Tikkun, that they made it like the D'Oraisa. Right now, Nigzal, this is the next case in the Mishnah, a case of a person who was stolen from. A person who was stolen from can take a Shvu'ah and it gets back his stolen items. You can nishbav in a hotel. Ketzer, what's the case? Hayu may din motosh nechtas lebeito l'mashkano. He went in the house to take a mashkon. They're idin that he went in the house to take a mashkon. And the person says, he walked out with my stuff. He took a mashkon, he hasn't given back to me. He stole it. V'delma lo mashkano. How do we know that he took a mashkon? All the Edim say is that he entered into the house to take a mashkon. We don't know that he walked out with the mashkon. He just entered with that intent. We don't know what he came out with. Milo Amar Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says, I'm on the Nokid Nar Gabi Odeh. Someone's walking around with an axe. I'm going to cut down the palm tree of so-and-so. He was a little angry at him. Decided he wanted to cut down the tree. Guess what we find? We don't see anything happening. Next day we walk by, and sure enough, the palm tree is cut down, laying on the floor there. So Rav Nachman says, "Lo Amrinan to who katle?" We don't automatically say that he's the one who killed it. Right. It's exactly circumstantial evidence. But what's Rav Nachman's claim? Alma ovininish degozim lo avid. People talk big. People talk. People threaten. They talk big, but they don't act. Most people will make threats. They'll say things, even though they don't mean them. They exaggerate. They exaggerate what they're going to do. So therefore, even though he claimed that he was going to do it, he's a moda, right? He's a hodat baldin, and he's admitting that he's going to go cut it down. Nevertheless, we're not going to hold him accountable over here or culpable over here because we don't believe him. We don't believe that people necessarily carry out the actions that they intend to do because they exaggerate. This is claimed because involved. That's only be stambini al dam. When do we say people exaggerate and don't carry out? That's what the normal person, a benoni, a lay person. But when a person has a chazakah of cutting down people's trees, has a chazakah of carrying out his word, over there we don't say, oh, he's just exaggerating. There, if he says he's going to do it, we assume that he did it because we've had previous evidence to the fact that he has done it. So again, this benefit of the doubt is only granted to someone who deserves the benefit of the doubt in such a situation. Wait, so why do you say the same thing over here? The Edim see him going to the house to get a mashkon. Say, I'm going in there to get a mashkon. Maybe he doesn't walk out with a mashkon. He was just bluffing. Right? He was exaggerating that he's going to get a mashkon. So also over here, Al-Khanami, the Gazim Lavid. So Ema Umashkino. So the case here, amend the Mishnah to read that he actually took out. The Edim witnessed that the mashkon was taken out. So it says, let's say my mashkino. Then why do you have to be Nishma of an hotel? Why do you need an exile here to come along and take a shua about what was taken? Just ask the Edim what was taken. They saw him take out a mashkon. Ask the Edim what he took out. So Amar Rechana, Amar Yochan, Betoano Kelim, and Italim Tachat Knafav. It's a case where he took Kelim under his bag and under his garment. He took him out underneath his jacket. So he took Kelim. The Edim witnessed the fact that they were Kelim taken out. Tosfos says here that they saw some of the Kelim. They didn't see all of the Kelim. So they know that he took something out for sure. They're just not sure to the extent or how much he took out because it was under his coat. So they saw a portion of it. They didn't see the whole thing. So yeah, but don't Kelim Kelim takunav. Amar Yehuda ra'u shitmin Kelim takunav yatsa. So Yehuda says, now if we see him walking out with these Kelim under his beged and goes out, v'amar l'kuchim hein biyodin. He says, listen, I bought them from him. So, Enu Ne'eman, he's not believed in that case.
And when we say Enu Ne'eman, that means even with the Shavuah, he's not believed over here. Now, the Gemara qualifies this statement. When is the cases, or what are the cases where he's not believed? V'lo Amran, Ela Balabai, Chena Asui Limkor Kelav. This is only true that he's not believed, the person who walked out with these items, and claims that they were bought. He's only not believed when this is a Balabai, this is an owner who doesn't normally sell his Kelim. A balabait who normally sells his items, then he is believed. It makes sense that he purchased the item because we have an individual who normally sells his items. We have a buyer walking out and saying that he bought the items. You put two and two together, it says we make a lot of sense, therefore we believe him. So, the first qualification in terms of Enu Ne'eman is that he has to be a situation where the balabait is not Enas Sulim Kerkalav, does not normally sell his Kelim. Number two is v'she'ena surim kolet kelav, and that when we say that he doesn't normally sell his kelim, nami lo amran el dvarim shein darkam la'tamin. That's only with items that people don't normally hide. Those are items that people would walk openly in the shuk with. People are not embarrassed to walk around with them. So these things are taken out in public. So if this person's hiding them, he's hiding them because he's embarrassed that he has to borrow such an item. So that's an indication that he should not be believed over here, because number one, this is a balabai who doesn't normally sell his kelim. And on top of that, compounding the situation, is that we're talking about an item that's not normally hidden. About Dvarim Shadarkam Lahatmin, on the other hand, if it is an item that is normally placed undercover, then he's Ne'eman. Then he's believed to, when he walked out with it covered, it makes sense that he walked out. There's, again, circumstantial evidence that he purchased it over here because people normally would walk out with this item covered. And on top of that, another qualification is Vayishar Darkam Latmin, when we said these are Kelim that are not normally hidden, Namil Amran El Inish Delot Tznia. This is only talking about an individual who normally would walk out with his items outside or in the public view. Aval Inish Tznia, person who would never walk out with his items in public, Haino Orche, that's the way he conducts himself, and therefore he is Ne'eman in that case. So now we have, actually, in order to be Eino Ne'eman, in order for him not to be believed by saying Lekuchim him, we actually have three qualifications according to this, three qualifications according to the Gemara. First of all, he has to be an Inish Delotznia. It has to be an individual and normally covers items. It has to be items, Dvarim She'ein Darkam Latamin, items that normally are not covered. And it has to be a Balabait She'ein Wasuilim Kor Kilav, a Balabait that does not normally sell his items. So all three of those are true. Then we say Enu Ne'eman, he's not believed. But in the other instances, in any of the other cases, we say Ne'eman. So that means that if it's a Balabait who normally sells his Kelim, he's Ne'eman, the buyer is Ne'eman. If it's an item that's normally hidden when people walk around, Ne'eman, he's believed in that case. Or it's an individual who we said before, Inish Tznia, if he is a Tznua individual, then again he is ne'eman. So again, you have to have all three of these qualifications in order to be enu ne'eman. And on top of that, now the Gemara adds a fourth qualification about what it is to be enu ne'eman, and that is velo amran. We only say this elzeo mer shulim zeo mer lukuchim when they're machlokus, meaning the Baal HaBayit says I lent them out to him, and the person walking out with these items says I purchased them. Then we say enu ne'eman. Aval bignuvim. If the Baal HaBayit says he stole them from me, lav kol kaminelach zukeinish beganve. He can't. Right? Who can? This individual has no right to establish that a person is a ganav. Now, if the person is a ganav or a known ganav, then it's fine that we could establish that he's a ganav. But if he's a normal person, why should we assume that he walked in here and walked out with someone else's possessions and he's a ganav? He says lukuchim biyadi. The other person says sold. We're going to believe him that he says lukuchim heim biyadi. So according to this, that's the fourth qualification. That's only in a case where the Baal HaBayit says shulim hein, that they were lent out to him. So those are the four qualifications. In order to be not believed in this case, that statement of Rabbi Yehuda that says enu ne'eman, they have to be four qualifications. One is that the Baal HaBayit says that it's sha'ul, it was lent out. Number two is, this is a Baal HaBayit who normally does not sell his kelim. Number three is, these are items that normally are not hidden. And number four is, this is a person who doesn't normally hide his items when he's walking around. So if all four of those are true, enu ne'eman, then he's not believed in that case. And that's where the statement of Rabbi Yehuda was said about. All right, now, there is now an additional qualification. This additional qualification is actually subject to a machlokes Rashi and Tosafot. The girsa that we have in our Gemara follows the girsa of Rashi, and that is, according to Rashi, the Gemara now adds a fifth qualification, which is velo amran. We only say that he's enu ne'eman in a case ela bedvarim asuim lahashil ulahaskir, items that are normally lent out or rented out. But this Baal HaBayit's claim that they are shulim, they are lent out, is only true, only possible in a case where that we're talking about kelim that are normally lent out or rented out. So if that's the case, now we've added this fifth qualification. The fifth qualification is that it has to be dvarim asuim lashil askir, and then it has to be inish delot sniya, someone who's not normally walking around with their items covered. Number three, again, dvarim shein darkam, that means they were talking about items that are not normally hidden, and it's a Baal HaBayit who doesn't normally sell his items, and then he claimed that they were shulim, he claimed that they were lent out. So if all five of those are true, enu ne'eman, then the person who walked out with it under his coat and says they were bought, in that case he's not believed. Enu ne'eman, he's not believed. Advarim shein asum lashil askir, we're talking about items that normally are not lent out or rented out, then he's ne'eman. Ne'eman, he refused to the individual who walked out with it. Lakuach, the guy who walked out and says, I bought it. He is ne'eman. Why shouldn't we believe him? These aren't items that normally lent out, so the evidence again is towards his side that they were bought and not lent out or not rented out. So that is the position of Rashi, that you need five qualifications in order for him to be enu ne'eman, and this is one of those five qualifications to be enu ne'eman. On the other hand, Tosafot says over here, no, that's not the case. There are actually two situations, according to Tosafot, where a person is enu ne'eman. And that is based on the girsa. It's actually the girsa in the Rach, girsa in the Rabbeinu Hananel. Although the Rabbeinu Hananel actually explains the Gemara like Rashi, nevertheless, Tosafot is following the girsa of the Rabbeinu Hananel as well as the Rav Haigon, which is that the girsa reads over here, ubikulu. In all these items, lo amran elu bedvarim she'ein asuim lahashil ulahaskir. Tosafot says, actually, that the lakuach is only believed, in all these cases before we said he's believed, first of all, he's the inish tzaniya, if he's a person that normally covers things, takes out things that are covered. Or, dvarim shedarkam latamin, or these are items that people normally cover when they walk out. Or, this is a bali who normally sells his stuff, in all those places you're ne'eman. That is only true when we're talking about items that that are not normally sold or rented. If these items are not normally sold or rented, then the machzik, the person who walked out with it, is believed in this case to say the kuachin biyadi, because these, again, the evidence shows that it probably was bought by him because these are inasum lashil askir. On the other hand, if these are items, hausim lashil askir, these are items that are normally lent out or rented out, enu ne'eman, he's not believed, the Baal HaBayit is ne'eman always in that case. So according to Tosafot, there are actually two circumstances where he will not be believed. One is a case that we're talking about items that are normally lent out or rented out. The Baal HaBayit gets automatic belief in that case, and he can't claim lakuachim biyadi because people normally rent and lend these out. And therefore, the Baal HaBayit is believed, and the lakuach, the guy who says that I bought them, enu ne'eman. The other case where he's enu ne'eman is when you have, again, the compounded effect, which is that the Baal HaBayit says that they were she'ulin, that he lent them to them. Number two, we're talking about a Bala Bayit She'en Asur Limkor Kelev, doesn't normally sell his Kelim. And we're talking about Tvarim She'en Darkam Latmin, items that are not normally hidden. And we're talking about Inish Lo Tznia, and an individual who doesn't normally hide his items. If all of those are true, then he's Enu Neman, as long as we're talking about Kelim She'en Asur Limkor Kelev. When we're talking about Kelim that are not normally lent out or not rented out, if you have all of those qualifications, again, then he's not Neman. But the additional case where he's not believed, or the case where the Baal Bayit is always believed, is a case where it is items that are normally lent out or rented out. There the Baal Bayit is always believed. Tosa's proof is from the upcoming sugya with Rava when he talks about the Yitomim. We'll see in a second that Rava automatically assumes that if these are items that are normally rented out or lent out, we give them back right away because we assume they were lent or rented out. We don't even think lekuchim be'adil, that we don't assume or we don't even pay attention to the fact that they possibly could have been purchased over here because these aren't items that are normally purchased. So that's the difference between Rashi and Tosafot. According to Rashi, there's only one case when he's Enu Neman, and this next piece of the sugya follows the previous case of the sugya, which is narrowing the case in which the person is Enu Neman, and it narrows it down to a case that it's only talking about items that are normally lent out and rented out. In that case, we look through all these other qualifications to see Enu Neman. On the other hand, Tosafot says that this part of the sugya is actually different than the previous statements. The previous statements all built on each other, but this statement's an independent statement, and that's why it says Okudo Amran. All that we said above is only true when we're talking about items that are not normally lent out or rented out. But if they are normally lent out or rented out, the Baal Bayit is Nemanut and he's Enu Neman. So Tosfos will actually have two cases where there's an Enu Neman that the person who took the matter is Enu Neman. Rashi will only have one case like that.
By the Sholach Ravuna Bravin, Dvarim Ma'osim Lashil Askir, Vamadu Kuchim En Biyadi. But things that are normally rented out or lent out, and he says they are bought, Enu Neman. He is what? He's not believed in that case. The lakuach is not neman. Gad Rava, opik zuga the sarvelo of a safra the agarata miyatme. Like Rava, who took away scissors that are used by the people who used to comb the begadim. They used to straighten them out. They clean up the begadim. He used the scissors. The sifra the agarata and a sefer a limud of agarata miyatme. He took them away from the yatme. What was the claim here? Told them to have them in their possession. Their father passed away, and an individual comes and says, "I lent them to these yitomim. I lent them to his father, and now the Yitomim have them." Rabbi says, give them back to him. But Devarim, I assume that Shilas Kir, because these are items that are normally lent out. That is scissors, because these are expensive items. According to Rashi, Sivra da Agarato is normally lent out because it's not used so often. It's not used so frequently, therefore a person will get it out. But normal Sfarim, people don't lend out because they get used too much, and they get ruined. So people don't lend them out. Tosa says the other way around. Kol Shukain Shar Sfarim. Sivra da Agarato and Kol Shukain Sfarim Achirim, that is Derech Lashulam Yoter, that people would lend them out. But all these cases there, Tosa says you lend out Sfarim to give to other people to use. So therefore, these are normal items that are given out to lend. Since they're given out to lend, we believe the person that comes along and says, I want them back. Give them back to me. So Amar Rava, Afilu Shomer Nishba. Even if the guard in the house can take the Shvua, Afilu Ishtosho Shomer Nishbat. Even the guard's wife can take a Shvua if someone goes into a house to take out a Mashkon. And he walks out. We said before you need two Eidim to the fact that he walked out of the Mashkon. Here, if the Shomer Abayit says he walked out with this item, we believe him. Or even his wife says that we believe him. All these cases, he's believed. All we need is an evidence that he walked out with something. Because he went in to take out a Mashkon. We just need evidence of the fact that he walked out with it. So anybody's testimony is sufficient. What about workers in the house? Is that good enough? Teiku. There we leave it at Teiku. Because he's not specifically there to be Shomer, to watch the item. So therefore we don't know. Over there they're not paying so much attention. We don't know if we should believe them or not. Amalei Rav Yemer the Rav Ashi. Tano. Right. Bekasa the Kaspo Mai. What happens if he says that it was a silver goblet over here? Right. Tano. He comes and claims. He says the silver goblet is mine. So now he says, no, it's not. It's mine. You know, how do we determine here whether when the claim comes to make it, are you believed with a shvua over here to take it or not take it? So we say, well, we check it out. Chazinan, inish damid hava. Is this individual over here a rich person? Oh, inish demahemenu. That he's a person who is trusted, mafkidei inish kabei. And therefore, people would normally give that item to him. Mishdaba mishakil. Then he can take a shvua and shakil. Vilolo. So when do we say that this, we believe the individual that the silver cup is his? Right, that's his, and that he didn't sell it, he didn't give it away. There we believe it either, but he's a rich person, and he would have such an item in his possession. Therefore, we don't believe the person who walked out and says, it's mine, I bought it, or it's mine. Or in a case where this person normally would have picked a note of that value given over to him. Over there, we believe him also. And therefore, we say, Mishtaba B'Shakil, he can keep it and take it back. The Baal HaBayit can take his silver cup back, because there's a believable stance that he owns this item, that it's his. If he's not believable, if it seems unlikely that he would have this item in his possession, then we don't believe him, we believe the individual who walked out with it, who says it's his, or that he bought it. Right. What's the case of injury? In the Mishnah, you get injured, you take a shvua, and you can get your money paid. It's only a case where he himself could damage himself. If he's damaged in a place where he himself couldn't hurt himself, then he doesn't have to take a shvua. He gets his money automatically. Because he couldn't do it. He can't reach that point to hurt himself. What's the place where he can't? Between his shoulder blades. Over there, he can't reach it to hurt himself. So over there, he has some injury over there. We assume somebody else did it to him. Oh, who says that? Maybe he just rubbed up against the wall. He bumped into something sharp. That's how he got the cut. Something that way has a bite mark on his back. It's between his shoulder blades. So he couldn't do it to himself. That had to be done by a third party. But maybe a third, somebody else did it. Who says the person in the house with him did it? It says, there's nobody else in the house. So where there's nobody else in the house, and it's in a place where he can't reach, and there's an injury that's obviously done by another person, over there he could get his money without taking a shavua. The only time he has to take a shavua is if the injury was in a place where he could also cause the injury to himself. There he has to take a shavua that was done by the other party. We said, afil shavua shav. If he's chashud al shavua shav, Gemara says, my afilu shavua shav. What does it mean? Mish is a case where he's chashud al shavua. We don't believe him because he's chashud at taking shavua checker. The Mishnah says, afilu shavua shav. Even if he took a shavua shav, then he's not believed to take a shavua and based it. Gemara says, my afilu shavua shav. Lo mi bai kamar. It means, not only, what does it mean? Lo mi bai hanochtit bu kriyat mamon. Shvat eidut, shvat adayanim. Over here, where not only is he taking a shvat sheker, he's lying about money. He's willing to cheat about money and lie to people. Ela afilu hanami tekfirat dvarim ba'amu lo mehemen. Over here, by shvat shav, he's not causing monetary loss to anybody. He's simply taking a shvat. That's not true. Shvat shav, that's unnecessary. I mean, he's rala shamayim. He's bad to a kosh baruch, but he's not rala briyot. He doesn't cheat other people. So that's what it means. Lo mi bai, where the person takes a shvat that's bad for the briyot, for other people, he lies. And he's bad for a kosher broker, he takes a shvat checker. But even someone who just takes a shvat checker, where he's not the Rala Briot, but only Rala Shamayim, there he's Lo Mammon. So my says, V'le Deinami Shvat Bitui. So then why don't we listen Shvat Bitui in there also? Kintoni, Gemara says, Shvat Chika Mishtaba B'Shikra Kamishtaba. What's listed in the Mishnah is a case where it's a shvat of Sheker. The moment he takes the shvat, it's Sheker. Shvat Bitui is not like this. Of a Shvat Bitui, the Ikal Meimer, the Kushta Kamishtaba. The time that he took the shvat, he told the truth. Looked on it. That's not written down, because when he violated the shvua later on, that was his yetzer hara got the better of him. But in Achnami, he wouldn't have otherwise taken a shvat shav in this case over here. He would not have taken a shvat sheker. He thought he was taking a shvat emet over here. In this case, we say that it's not included in our Mishnah, because in that case, this person is believed by shvot. He's not a liar by shvot. He just, in this case, his yetzer got the better of him.
Position of Rashi. On the other hand, the Rabbeinu Tam brings down that a person who took a shvut bitui and violated it actually would be pasul in this instance and wouldn't be able to take a shvua. All that our Gemara is saying is loktoni. This is the reason it's not written in our Mishnah. This case is a different type of case. A shvut bitui is slightly different, and since it's a different type of shvua, that's not why it's not mentioned in our Mishnah. But in Ochanami, that a person would not be believed. Rashi says the person is believed even when they take a shvut bitui and violate it. On the other hand, Rabbeinu Tam believes if they violated their shvut bitui, they would not be believed. It just happens to be the issue is not mentioned here because that's not what our Mishnah is dealing with.
All right. So now loktoni tinach. Ochel v'lo ochel. That makes sense when you're talking about the future tense of shvuat bitui. Aval achalti v'lo achalti, which is the past tense, the shvua is sheker right away, we know. Ma'ikel ameima. It says, tana shvuat shav, achol dodomile. The Mishnah mentions shvuat shav and anything that's similar to it. Shvuat shav is the shvuat sheker right away. And that's what we said before. Shvuat bitui in the avar, that's a shvuat shav. Shvuat sheker is in the future tense. That's a shvuat sheker, we don't believe in. And then the other things that we see, the last things that we see over here is, Hayah chemeh mesachik b'kubya. If one of them was a mesachik b'kubya, hatul omeli. Why do I need these items? Why says, tana psula d'oraisa. We told her, Mishnah mentions people who are posul d'oraisa, like people who are not nechshad al shvua. Tani psula d'rabbanan. These are psula d'rabbanan that are mentioned in the Mishnah and Sanhedrin. These are people posul d'eidut mid'rabbanan. So the Mishnah enumerates things that you're posul d'oraisa, and then enumerates things that you're only posul mid'rabbanan. Okay, we'll stop over here.